This is J.M. Williams. I just wanted to take a moment to thank everybody who's followed our YouTube channel and everyone who contributed to the discussion on the first episode. We appreciate your comments and your questions and your feedback. It's good to know that we're not the only ones that struggle with this whole fantasy writing thing. As Richie and I prepare our second episode, which should be out in a couple weeks, I just wanted to share with you some extra content from our first episode. Richie and I discussed a couple extra cliches besides what got published in episode one. We just didn't have time for these additional discussions. One of them was on medieval European settings being prevalent in fantasy. I'm going to share that discussion with you now. It's an interesting topic. You find that most fantasy that gets written, usually it's at least fantasy written by English language authors, is usually framed in some sort of a medieval European type setting. And part of that just comes from it being what's familiar to the author. But I think also part of it, along with a lot of cliches, comes from it just being precedent. And that's what was done in the past. So new authors, that's what they're used to, and that's what they copy forward. The problem, as with other any other cliches, is that things become repetitive and the genre becomes stagnant as long as you're repeating the same cultural tropes. However, dealing with culture and setting can be a double-edged sword. Obviously, there's a lot of controversy these days with cultural appropriation and other issues, and nuance and respect for minority cultures. So it's something that authors need to take into account when they're thinking about what their setting and what their culture and their story is going to be. If you're going to adopt a culture that is foreign to you, obviously you want to make sure you do your research. And I think with fantasy, the important thing is that you never want to just blatantly adopt any setting or historical detail or culture verbatim, because that also in a way lacks creativity. In addition to medieval European settings, you see a lot of stories that just adopt a Roman cultural framework or political framework on their stories. Some even use the same terms, you know, praetor, praetorian guard, senate, things like that. And it just lacks a bit of imagination. So when you're creating your setting and your characters and your culture, it's important to whatever you're choosing to use as a reference, it's important to consider what makes your story your own and what makes it original, and just making sure that you do something new with the topic or the theme. You create a new type of politics. You create new religious ideas, or new debates, new social debates, and just keep moving the genre forward. Obviously, this topic, along with any of the other topics that we presented in episode one, is a deep and complex topic that you could talk for hours about just on itself. I'm not going to do that here. Instead, just let me offer our little discussion that we had. I hope you enjoy it.
One cliche that I see quite hotly discussed on the web of late in particular is medieval European settings for fantasy stories. What do you think about this one, JM?
I mean, I understand the argument. There seems to be a particular cultural dominance in fantasy, and just like other cliches, it's inhibiting the genre from evolving and advancing. I think for Americans and probably Brits as well, that medieval European setting is familiar. It's part of our culture, but also it's what fantasy has been for the longest time. So we're used to it. But yeah. I think you're starting to see insurgency of of different styles. Of course, you have like you have modern, you know, modern fantasy, urban fantasy, which takes the ideas and implants them in the modern day. But you're seeing a more broad range of, you know, Asian style fantasy cultures and even African and you know indigenous people type cultures. And I think those stories become a little bit more compelling just because they're new and they're innovative and they're novel. And it's something that we've been kind of working with together with our Of Metal and Magic project, trying to make sure that our fantasy world is a world with many different, you know, types of cultures. There's a kind of an Arab type inspired desert culture, and there's definitely medieval European type cultures. And then my current work in progress, The Fierce, is actually borrows heavily from the biography of Genghis Khan and the Mongol culture. So
nice. Yeah, I'm obviously being from the UK and the same country as Tolkien. I do love that setting, that medieval European setting with the deciduous forests and the rolling green hills. I don't know. It's just what I like to write, but I do appreciate that it is getting a bit overdone at the moment and you need to mix it up. I mean, there's a lot of variety in that setting as well. I mean, playing with the seasons, if you can set your story in different seasons, different times of the year, there's a lot of difference you can introduce with that. I think that's quite good. But I definitely need to start mixing it up.
I think part of the problem is that a lot of, and this is the same with all these other cliches, is a lot of writers, a lot of new writers just adopt the fantasy, the medieval European setting without any, any adjustment or second thought. So monarchy, patriarchy, an oppressive church, like all those factors, just as they were in Europe, are just kind of adopted wholesale without any nuance. So you can have a medieval European type setting, but do something innovative, you know, mess with the politics, mess with the religion. Doesn't have to be a patriarchy. It can be more egalitarian in certain aspects. It can be intellectually driven as opposed to martially driven. There's a lot of things you can do to innovate that even within that space, instead of just making it feudal Europe with magic and dragons.
Yeah. Oh, there's another reason why I think medieval European settings are so popular as well, is because that's when everyone had bows and arrows and swords and shields.
And feudalism. Everybody was at war.
Yeah, you can't have a fantasy story without a sword. I when you think about it as well, it's a harsh life that people in medieval times lived, particularly in like the Dark Ages. There's a lot of vulnerabilities, there's disease. There's, like you say, there's fighting all the time. It's quite rugged lifestyle, and it's a brilliant source of conflict as a fantasy writer or a writer in general.
There's plenty of bandits on the Silk Road, though.
The highwaymen.
You don't have to be in a European. You don't have to be in ancient Prague to have conflict.
And yeah, definitely.
A lot of writers just write away the disease issue, but with magic. Oh, he's sick. Oh, he's cured because of magic.
Yeah. That is a bit overdone as well.
Well, that's it for this extra content. We hope you will tune in to episode 2 when it drops in a couple weeks. We're going to be looking at genre tropes, but looking at how you can flip the script and employ them to your benefit and do something new, and maybe offer some examples of books that have done that exceptionally well. Stay tuned. I hope to hear from you in the comments.